Hello and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey girl, what's going on?
Not much, other than I'm sweating my fucking balls off out here.
And you got yourself a new hot ass pixie cut.
Yeah, I did. I chopped it all off, y'all. It is what, like an inch long?
Yeah, an inch maybe.
Maybe. So I wanted to say that as a surprise for our live, but somebody was taking forever to, like, you know.
That's me, guys. I'm somebody. Yeah, that is my life at the moment. So I'll add it to the list of people complaining about me being that somebody.
Oh.
Well, I'm glad that I love the haircut. I noticed it on a live or a post that you did on your own page. But I did know that you had cut it until just now. It looks really good. You look great with short hair. It's shorter than my hair. And I think most people know what my hair looks like. Mm-hmm. It is much shorter than my hair. It is a true pixie cut. I love that.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing in the back.
Yeah, nothing back there.
Nothing.
Is it curly back there?
Yes. So I have I have wavy hair in some spots and straight ass hair in the front. So this haircut works really well because I can leave my front a little bit longer and straight, and then the back, just nothing. I just let it do what it does. There's no product in this hair. I just took a shower, combed it back, combed it, a little blow dry if I need to. That's it. And you just let it air dry. And which
it looks really good. I like
it. Thank you. Which I love because I'll have to spend hours now doing my hair.
Girl, were you spending hours doing your hair before?
Okay, no, I wasn't just spending hours, okay? But you know what I mean. It would take me a good half an hour if I was to do my hair.
If we combined all the 30 minutes, it would be hours.
Yes. Yes, it would be. There we go.
Yeah, because look, I'm not spending hours doing my hair. That's for damn sure.
No, but I have super thin hair, so I'd have wash it, detangle it, put product in it, blow dry it, and then style it on top of that. It's a fucking pain in the ass when you're a homesteader.
It is, yeah. And, especially when you're living on a homestead.
Right, and not long enough to throw up in a ponytail.
Mm-mm. True. The thing that works in your benefit, though, not many people are seeing you.
Right.
Well, except for the fact that you are constantly on live or promoting your work and doing all those things. So I take that back.
Oh, yeah. I'm all over the place.
So you have to be a homesteader that is presentable, which most homesteaders don't have to do.
No, they don't.
Right.
They're running around in their pajamas with their titties flying everywhere and, you know, enjoying all that.
And some of us are even homesteaders and we're already doing that.
Right?
So, I'll tell you what I'm working on at the moment.
Okay.
In 3 days, 2 days now, my son turns 21.
Yeah. Are you excited? Are you nervous?
I'm not nervous. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm extremely emotional about it because it's the same age that I was when I had him. Right. I had Ethan 3 days before my 21st birthday. So when I look back at the last 21 years of my life, mm-hmm. you know, I've segmented my life into just the first half and the second half. And I'm pretty sure I shared with everybody that the second half has been the best part of my life. And that starts with him, right? Like, mm-hmm. this morning I was thinking if his goal is to change the world, he can check that off the box because he changed my world the moment he was born. He just changed the direction of my life and the purpose of my life.
Yes.
He turned me into a parent, and that is just insane to me that it's been 21 years. It is half. I turned 42 3 days after him. It is half of mm-hmm. my life.
Literally.
Yeah, exactly one half of my life. And what a beautiful gift he was to me. Like, just amazing. And I enjoy who he is today mm-hmm. as just a man. I can call him a man and not a young man. I like him. And I always said that my goal was just for him to become a good person, right? Like, if you want one thing for your child, just be a good fucking person. I don't care if you're a millionaire. I don't care if you have 17 wives and never want to get married, or 17 girls, and never, whatever it is, just be a good fucking person that you could be proud of. Not me. It doesn't truly matter what I think, but somebody that you can look in the mirror and you're just proud of who you are. And I think that he's accomplished that, which is, you know,
It's a rare thing in today's society. I have to say, because I know your son, and he is absolutely amazing. And you do not find kids his age with his caliber.
Right. That's what, you know, I don't want to toot his horn, but it's true, right? Mm-hmm. I can't tell you the amount of phone calls and compliments from adults of what an intelligent young man, what a polite young man, what a helpful young man. I am proud to be his parent, and that's just super fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to celebrate him.
And, you know, you did that, you know.
Well, that's what I told Nate. I said, you know, we can also just feel kind of great about this. Like, we did it.
Yeah.
We did it.
You did.
Yeah. And I do feel proud about that. And I think my husband should feel proud about that. You know, we were both young, and Ethan was 2 when he met Nate. And what a great role model for him, right? Like, they were both out there changing the oil today. Nate is teaching him how to be a man, but how to be a man with compassion and a heart. Yes. And that is very rare. Now, is he a toxic masculinity? Fuck yeah. He is a white man in America with an ego that is tall and handsome, and he walks around this house and he has his shirt off. And no, listen, you're rolling your eyes, but my daughter and I are constantly looking at him like, Ethan, please.
Put some clothes on.
Highest power. Yeah. You hold the highest power in this country. Please tell us how hard your life is.
Oh, geez.
But, you know, we're just kidding with that. He works for everything he has. But, you know, just, it's a great feeling. So we are, his birthday's on Saturday. He's fishing for his birthday.
Okay.
So we're not celebrating until next week. And, okay. And I get to see family that I haven't seen in 2 years since the pandemic. And
right.
Get to hug my stepmom again, and get to hug Nana Lynn, and get to hug, you know, my sister and her husband, and just spend a whole weekend with them, which means my mind's fucking racing at the moment, right? Like, I have this list to work on and this list to work on and the ones in my phone to work on.
Right? Because you've got so much shit going on.
Yeah, but it's so exciting and I can't wait. And now, do you remember I just shared that I spent my 21st birthday in the hospital
having a baby?
Yeah, where were you at on your 21st birthday?
I know exactly where I was.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so my 21st birthday, I went to, what's the name of the bar? Shit, I'm getting old. It's still in Orlando. Southern Nights is what it was called at the time. Okay, so I went to Southern Nights, is a gay bar. Me and my girlfriend went with a bunch of friends. And I remember walking in, and the guy at the counter goes, "Oh, it's your 21st. Happy birthday, blah, blah, blah." And he goes, "If you can walk out of this bar, you did not have a proper 21st birthday." So,
Challenge accepted.
So we're out, we're drinking. Drinks are coming from everywhere. I'm not even just my group of friends, like random people are just buying me drinks, right? So, I got really drunk. I got pulled up on stage with the drag queen, and she totally made fun of me. She goes, "Girl, you need to fix your bra. Happy titty, sad titty. Happy titty, sad titty." Like, she jerked on my titty up and down. She's like, "This is a happy titty. This is a sad titty." Like,
so, time out. For my young sister who is listening to this right now, Charlene, imagine what I did to you, Charlene, with your nursing bra. Charlene wore her nursing bras 3 years too long. And I did that same thing. I stood behind her in a mirror and I pulled on her straps and I was like, "Happy titty, sad titty, happy titty, sad titty, happy titty. You need a new bra."
And that's so basically...
I, was, I, I know exactly, and Charlene's picturing it in her head at this moment.
Yes. Okay. And that's because my bras were looser, because my titties were comfortable there. They weren't comfortable up to my fucking chin. Right?
That's funny. Yeah.
So we had that. I got super, super, super drunk.
Uh-huh.
We left. I could not walk out of the bar. I had two people on each side of me basically dragging me. I'm trying to kick my foot up to another friend saying, hey, carry my foot, carry my foot, carry my... And as we walk by, I look at the guy and I go, this is your fucking fault.
Right, or you should have said, I did it, motherfucker.
Yeah, I was like, fuck you, this is your fault. So went home and proceeded to puke my brains out as the room started beginning to spin. Yeah, and that was the beginning of many nights like that.
Well, I'm hoping, because this child is 6'5", mm-hmm. that he makes it far enough into his bed, because he is definitely too big for any one person to carry. If he gets drunk on his birthday party in our backyard, he will be sleeping in our backyard.
Absolutely.
He is going to, wherever he goes down is where he's landing. And that is just the consequence of his fucking size.
But that's a consequence of the nature of drinking, too. You know?
Yeah, like, could you imagine pulling a 6'5", 220 child up a hill? That's not happening.
No.
You're sleeping in the grass, son. You're sleeping in the grass.
Dion's 6'3", and, you know, however big he is. Dion's a big man. You pass out outside, baby. Well, I love you. I'll bring you a blanket, but that's about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you taking him out for his first drink, or are you letting him and his friends do that?
So on his true 21st is in 2 days. Mm-hmm. He is going on a fishing tournament that day. So he will be out fishing.
Okay.
I've actually already had a drink with him out in public. Like he attended an event with us a few weeks ago, or with me as my date. And the bartender served him.
Oh, okay.
So and by this point I was like, what does it matter? He's 2 weeks away and I'm the DD. So it is what it is.
Okay. I was just saying,
I don't know. I will tell you this though. So I thought I have been around him when he's been drinking. He is, we've given him permission. We've had parties that he could drink here at home.
Okay.
He's always been very respectful. And there's only one time where I could tell that he was feeling it, and he put himself to bed.
Oh, good.
But he has never made me feel uncomfortable with him drinking too much in front of other people.
Okay.
Just always very respectful about it. So he attends this party with me, and I'm now comfortable with him drinking, right?
Right.
What I forgot about is that marijuana is now legal in the state, well, medically legal in the state of Florida, right? Mm-hmm. So where Mama was comfortable with alcohol and people drinking, and now he's drinking in front of adults that he's never seen, like his aunts and uncles or our family friends, right? He doesn't know them socially. He knows them on a family level, as he should.
Yes.
Now he's in a social event and these grown-ups are talking about medical marijuana and like, oh yeah, I got a good card. And then I was like, ooh, now we're talking about drugs. And I instantly went into mom mode of, I felt uncomfortable at first because I never thought about it.
Okay.
And I understand that it's legal, right? It's just, to me, in my mind, it's still a drug. And is it going to make my child uncomfortable?
Right.
That people are doing. But let me be honest, him and his friends probably do it, and they're doing it illegally. At least my friends are doing it legally, right?
Right. And then the other thing you have to remember, though, Sabrina, is, see, that's a mentality shift, because alcohol is a drug.
Yeah. No, I agree, right?
You know,
it's
so...
It's just that sucker punch of, ooh, I didn't prepare for this. For
drug.
Being comfortable. Right. Like, am I comfortable with somebody smoking a legal joint in front of him?
Right.
Because I've always been an illegal pot smoker, right? Like I smoked pot when I was a kid, right? So we were always taught you had to hide it. It's just weird now when all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, this is happening.
Right.
That's my child. That's my adult child, not my child. It's not like people are still my child, though.
Well, of course, yeah. Still your kid.
All right, next time, I need to be mentally prepared for this. I was prepared for shots and titties and let's talk about this stuff. I just wasn't prepared for, oh, yeah, marijuana's legal and my kid's going to see it now.
Right.
Even though, again,
I'm sure they're doing it.
Right, exactly. It was just that little thing of, okay, welcome to adulthood. This is just a new...
It's a new stage. Right.
Also, what I noticed is when he asked me questions now, I've always given... There's answers that you give kids, right? You don't want to lie to kids, but there's a proper way to explain the truth to them.
Correct.
Or how much truth a child should be given. So now when he's asking, and I find myself giving that child comment or answer, and then now I've been stopping myself and saying, well, no, actually, the truth is black and white, and this is what it is.
Right.
And he's going, damn, like, I have no idea. But it's just a mentality of me switching from, it's no longer an 18-year-old adult. We're talking about a 21-year-old adult.
Right.
21-year-old man that can emotionally handle the truth at this point and needs to hear the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different. It's just a different stage of parenting.
It is. You're coming out of that parent-child relationship and you're moving more to an adult relationship. And that is either normally either really, 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 really hard, or normally the transition is really easy. And that really depends upon the parent and their control issues. So like me and my mother had a very, very hard time with that because I was still always considered, oh, you're my child, da, 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 da. Like my mom wouldn't smoke weed in front of me for the longest time. And I'm like, I've known you smoke weed since I was 10, right? Like, what is the big deal? And she said, oh, I can't smoke in front of... I'm like, I am 36 years old. What makes you think I'm not smoking weed my damn self?
Pass the doobie, Mom.
What the fuck? I'm like, you're pretending like I'm not going in the bathroom behind you to get a contact high. Now let's just share the fucking weed and get on about our business. And she kind of looked at me and went, okay.
I told my kid years ago that one of our family friends had glaucoma.
Uh-huh.
Because he could smell it. He was at the age at this 4th of July party we always went to. Not at your house.
Right.
You know, we used to, prior to the 4th of July parties at your house.
Right, at our house. So, at our house, we did everything.
Right. Everything. We all signed 9 non-disclosures for those.
Yep. So, what happens at 4th of July stays at 4th of July.
Exactly. So, the party that we used to attend, there was somebody that was smoking it, and so he could smell it. And it would always, he's always been a kid that when he sees somebody break the law, it would make him feel very uncomfortable, right? And he would get very anxious. So, I lied and said, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so have glaucoma. So the compassionate kid in him, at the end of that weekend, he said to me, he's like, Mama, I feel so bad for them. Meanwhile, they're just fucking stoners getting high. It wasn't until 2 years ago that he goes, wait a second, he doesn't have glaucoma? And I was like, ooh, no, definitely not.
Okay, so but how did you keep him from going up to them and going, oh, I'm so sorry you have glaucoma. Like, how did you keep him from doing that?
I told them, hey, by the way, my kid thinks you have glaucoma. And they were like, okay, cool.
I love it.
So now he gets to find out the truth. Like, oh, no, that one likes this. This one likes this. This is the truth. Mama, you know, it's just welcome to the real world.
Yeah, pretty much. I had to go through that with my family and them coming out to me, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So that happened for me end of 8th grade. You know, my mom came out to me. DKIM's, you know, letting me know. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, wait, does that mean? And she wouldn't out anybody unless they had, like, already passed and she then would tell me. You know what I mean? But she made me go ask, like, yeah. If you want to know if they're gay or not, you go ask them.
Right, but I'm not personally outing anybody.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which ended up being everybody is. And then I'm like, oh, those two are together, and oh, those two are together, and those used to be. Oh, like I.
So let me ask you a question, because there was this girl in high school where her mom lived with her best friend, and she would just say that that is my mom's best friend. Now, her mom's best friend had a her own bedroom in their big giant house, but she was gay, right? Like everybody else in school knew her mom was gay. But this was back in the early 90s, late 90s, where your parents weren't gay.
Nope.
And so she really had no clue. Like, we would make fun. And now I feel fucking bad. But we would make fun and be like, your mom's a lesbian. Like, that's not her best friend.
Right.
Did you know or have any inkling? Or because I swear she just did not know.
So, honestly, I didn't know. Honestly. Yeah. Like, so if I think back to my, 12-year-old self, I did not know. Right?
Yeah.
And that's because of, you don't, if you grow up with a mom and a dad, you think that's normal. If you grow up with, grandma and grandpa, you think that's normal. Okay. Mm-hmm. So even though as a kid, there was no men around, right? There was already a backstory provided for me. Anybody ask, your dad left, before you were born. That was the backstory. So they already had a backstory. This is your Aunt Brenda. Anybody ask, she is your aunt, because if we're ever in a hospital, this is what it is, right? So like there was a whole lot of structure, and to me, that's just normal.
So you just, yeah.
Even when I went snooping through my mother's closet and found their pictures from parties where there were female strippers, right? It still didn't dawn on me that my parents are gay. Even though I lived with my mom, Dee, and I had my other mom, and I was in between the two, and mom technically remarried Pam,
right?
And Pam was there all the time. It didn't dawn on you.
Yeah.
And my friends didn't really they didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. They knew, but they didn't say anything. They just left that alone. They went, there's no point, that sort of stuff. And I remember talking to one of my friends one time saying, oh my gosh, my mom is gay, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, no shit, Sherlock. We've known for the last fucking 4 years. Where the hell have you been?
Listen, one of my closest friends. Okay. Her mom is, right?
Right.
And they lived with her best friend. This is a separate girl that I, not the one I was making fun of. But she always said, that it was just her mom's best friend. But her sister definitely knew.
Okay.
But she did not up until 10 years ago when she was like, I guess my mom's fucking gay. She's got a girlfriend living with her. And I was like, duh.
Wait, how old is she now at that 10-year mark?
She just turned 40, so about 30.
That's bad.
But I really think it was more like she didn't want to recognize it. It was so obvious. And even through our adulthood, we had talked about the fact, I said it, that wasn't just your mom's friend. That was her girlfriend. I think it was more of just being able to accept. And until she saw it in her face at the age of 30, when she was like, oh, guess what? My mom's gay. And I was like, yeah, guess what? We all fucking knew that.
Okay. I don't feel so bad anymore considering
you were 12.
Yeah, I was 12. That is quite a difference. I mean.
Right. But I think, if somebody tells you that story long enough and she heard it all the way till she was 18, then why wouldn't she believe that?
Exactly. In a lot of gay couples, especially during that time, there was always a backstory. There was always a reason. That when I remember from, because my mom, the mom that I lived with mainly, probably past the age of 10 or 11, there was no other partner that lived in the house.
Okay.
Ever. That was it. It was done. But I remember when she did, there was a partner in the house. It was a roommate, even though they slept in the same bed.
Right.
You know, it wasn't this big deal.
Right. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I could see that happening. I think it's interesting. I think it's, and I think we've talked about some of this before of,
right.
Yeah, I just think it's all fucking interesting. The other thing I want to mention about transitioning from parents on this child thing. So apparently I have a good looking child.
Daughter?
Child. My son. Apparently 6'5", tan, great smile. Do you know how liberal people have been with telling me that lately? Women of, damn, bring me. I'm like, still my child. Still my child. We cannot talk about his penis size. We cannot talk about how tall he is. We cannot say, break me off a piece of that. I birthed that motherfucker. Never going to be okay with this. Tabby, I swear to God, if you say something about my good-looking child, I'm hanging up. I swear to fucking God. I can't take it.
No, I'm about to cry.
This makes me so... I get it, ladies. I get it. He's a hunk of man, but he is my baby. I'm almost in tears because you're laughing so hard.
I am... Oh, my God. This is hilarious. Okay. So, hold on. You were talking about how his birthday's coming up on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, and I went, and I thought this. Now, mind you, had you not brought this up, Sabrina, I would have never said this to you, okay? Ever. Because I understand your point.
God.
But I'm going.
I'm just going to close my eyes.
I'm going, damn, if I was 20 years younger. I'm like... Shit! And I went, it's official, I'm a cougar. Fuck it. Anyway. Okay, so speaking of age, let me transition this conversation so you don't like cry anymore. Okay.
Thank you.
Last night I had the epiphany that I'm old. Okay? I'm old. Mm-hmm. That's it. I'm old. I may not look old, but I'm old.
Mm-hmm.
Here's
mm-hmm.
what happened. We had dinner, we played games with the kids, Dion and I went back to the RV, and I am sitting there looking at canning recipes. I'm looking at fucking canning recipes, y'all! And enjoying it!
Right.
I had to get up to let Maverick inside, and I sat back down, and I got frustrated because I had to get up to let the dog out because it was interrupting my canning recipe. I sat back down and started looking. I looked at Deanna, I went, motherfucker, I'm old. I'm like, I'm enjoying looking at canning recipes.
You know where, when it hit me the other day, I just had that same feeling. Ethan said to me, I was doing something, and he said to me, it is painful to watch you and your friends try to use your cell phones. And I was like, what are you talking about? Cell phones were made when we grew up in my time, fucker.
Right?
No, I was on the phone with my younger sister, Caroline, and we were FaceTiming each other. And all of a sudden, like, I'm asking her how to add somebody to, like, do a three-way call, but video time on FaceTime.
Right, right.
All of a sudden, my phone flips over, and it is showing her phone on my phone. Do you know you can screen share your iPhone?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, we are old.
I know. So I'm like, what is happening to my phone? And she's telling me, she's like, it's a screen share, Sabrina, don't you? And I was like, I didn't even know you could do that.
Wow.
And I was like, Ethan's right. There are things that this phone does now.
That we have no idea about.
We have no idea about.
Nobody's telling us. We're left out. See, when we were younger, you didn't know. Fuck if I know, boop boop. Because that's all they do is they fucking play on that phone all day.
Apparently.
And nobody's telling us. We're out of the conversation.
Yeah, apparently. That's what it hit me. Now, you want to hear something scarier? So.
What?
I went to this weekend that is called Bitches Weekend, right? Our family has a weekend of, it's all girls. It is all the females in our family, plus some family friends. And it's almost like a church fellowship, except there's a lot of alcohol and vagina and butt talk and sex talk and all kinds of talk, right? But it is fellowship among women of various ages. And it's just a good time. However, at one point, they advised me at the age of 52 that my vagina is going to dry up. And what do you mean, you're aware of that?
Yes, I am aware of that. Yes, your vagina will dry up.
10 years.
You get vaginal dryness.
Right now, it's a slip and slide.
Right? It's fun, isn't it?
No. So
look, I get nervous. So like, here's the thing. Like if it gets, like if I'm not drinking enough water or if I've been sick and after I've been sick and I'm still not getting like slip and slide action, I get nervous. I'm like, oh no, we can't be drying up this shit yet. I mean, you know, I'm like, no. I expect that flow every day.
I was disturbed.
Yeah, it's gonna dry up. Oh, you want to know what else is bad?
What?
You're gonna get gray hairs down there too.
Oh, see.
And the hairs are gonna fall out.
I don't know if I have any yet because I keep it all shaved, but I know that's a thing. And I've gotten one in my fucking eyebrow.
I'm getting them in my eyebrows too. Girl, when I cut my hair, I was like, oh shit, I have to dye it. Look at all of this gray.
Yeah, see, but that doesn't bother me as much as because I dye my hair platinum, I'm looking forward to it going
gray. That.
Are you going to let yours go gray? You look so great with brown hair. Yeah, it's great with your pigment though.
I'm just going to let it do what it does and see what happens.
Yeah. That doesn't scare me. The gray eyebrows, I've definitely plucked those out. And I do think about when
down there. Oh yeah,
yeah. When down there goes, because then, I mean, I keep it shaved anyways. That was another topic of discussion, and I want to keep bitches. There's so much happened on Bitches Weekend, but there's a sense of confidentiality, right? Like this, so I don't want to share too much. But another topic of discussion was: is the bush coming back? Do you think?
Well, it is. It is on this fucking homestead. That's all I'm telling you. Straight up. Let me be fucking real. That is the most liberating thing ever between cutting my hair and not shaving my bush. I am one fucking happy woman. We went to this like river thing or whatever with the boys, so I shaved around the edges.
Like a bikini,
just the bikini area. It's been the most annoying motherfucking thing forever. I've got bumps and my underwear's itchy and I'm like, oh no. This is why I'm not shaving it.
Yeah.
It's going to stay nice and natural. That's it. I'm happy.
How do you feel about underarm hair?
No, that's got to go.
I saw somebody this weekend, too, that...
Now, mind you, I'm not very well. I have to upkeep, but no, that's got to go because it's easy to shave and it causes BO.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. I just don't like seeing it either on women. Like, you can have such a beautiful woman and then you see that under their arm and I'm like, ugh.
That's an ick.
Yeah, well, speaking of the ick, let's move on to the ick.
Let's talk about icky, icky, ickies.
Yeah, let me find that article. It was from Mashables, and it's called Relationship Icks, Red Flags, and the Blurry Line That Separates Them. What stuck out about this with me is that our friend Jen had mentioned this about me in regards to men, right? Like, I can see a man from across a bar and say, oh, he's good looking. The moment he gets a little closer, and if there's something wrong, it just gives me like a, nah, not into him. And she was like, you're so dismissive of him. And it's just this thing. Like, we saw this guy, super great, but he has this fucking baby tooth that was right here. And I thought he was attractive for years.
Until you saw his teeth.
Until I saw that tooth. Just get the fucking tooth removed. I'm no longer attracted to him. I would never do it. I'm just not into it.
So I'm going to agree with you that 110%, if you have jacked up teeth, no way in hell. Right. No way in fucking hell you're not getting near me. I don't care if you're a millionaire. Your teeth are so important, and it's, and I don't know what it is, but if you've got funky teeth, you can be the nicest person in the world, but you are not kissing me with that mouth. Like, that is just like, I hate it. I think it's like the most disgusting thing. That is like my biggest ick, right? Don't get your damn feet.
Yeah, I like this example that they said, and I like that the way they connected this. So I'm interested in your opinion. So it says this girl went out on a lot of dates this one summer, and one of her potential suitors stuck out to her. He was kind, smart, and over 6 feet tall. He planned out their dates, followed up, had an Olaplex deep conditioning in the shower, but he also didn't eat vegetables. He couldn't cook vegetables, got his burgers, minus the tomato and lettuce, and insisted they're supposed to, that their supposed requirement to fulfill a natural diet was unnecessary. She called him No Vegetable John. And the fact that he did eat vegetables was so erroneous that it wiped out all of the good in him. She had fully gotten the ick. So what she said was him not eating vegetables was such an obvious maturity regression. How was I supposed to meet any of my goals if I had to spend time convincing some guy to eat a tomato? It would be one thing if he approached it as something to fix, but the attitude and refusal to carte blanche was just psychotic. I can't take care of myself and also take care of you. I kind of like that thought, right? Like, for somebody just to say, I'm a man, like, I don't eat vegetables. I don't like eat vegetables. They're not... I kind of understand her connecting it to a maturity thing. It's one thing not to like broccoli.
Right.
But you just don't eat any greens? What are you, a child?
Right. Well, and you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate on this one. Where is it her position to force him to eat something he doesn't want to eat? Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I get you want to make sure that he's healthy and all of that sort of stuff, but you know this going in. So either it's a deal breaker or it's not. But
what this article is saying is it's a psychological thing, really. Not a choice on her part.
But as far as the maturity level, I don't know if it's really a maturity level. He's clearly stating, I don't eat vegetables. I don't want to eat vegetables. But he planned and organized a date. He did all of these other mature things that half the time you can't get men your own fucking age to do.
Right.
You know, so for me personally, if the one caveat is he doesn't eat vegetables, but he's doing 99% of everything else right, well, then guess what? You don't eat vegetables. You pick them out of the dish because I'm not rearranging my life for it. And I'm still going to keep eating my fucking vegetables. You don't have to. And whatever happens to you, happens to you.
Right. I think it's similar to the tooth or whatever your icks are, right? Like,
correct.
I would never date a guy that wears cargo shorts and those Jesus fucking sandals. I can't fuck you if you're in that. Like, I just can't. It's never happening for me. Never.
Right.
If my husband started wearing that stuff, my vagina would dry up 10 years too soon.
Maybe that's why the vagina does start drying up.
Because men start wearing...
Maybe. What is it when they hit that age, they got to start wearing those long socks?
I don't know. I just, you know, so that like that ick thing to me is, I read several articles that say that it's a psychological thing. There are just things, and it's more in women than it is men, that women get these things and these feelings of ick. And that truly is, I like the word ick, because it is honestly how I have felt about these men that my two single friends have been pointing out for these years. And I'm just like, no, that's wrong. Ick. I'm good. Like, I'm just not attracted to them.
Right.
So some of them that I think are funny is, like, my friend refuses to date overweight men. If they are bigger than her, she's not into it. It means you're fat, lazy, irresponsible, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
One time she had gone back home. She was going to get it on with this guy. He was not overweight. He had a good job, blah, 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 blah. He had stickers on his laptop. Really? And she went home. She got the ick because she found, she said, he's got stickers on his laptop like my 13-year-old child. And that's, and so then that it correlated it to, is he mature enough? Like, what kind of 36-year-old is putting stickers on their laptop as we're watching? It's one thing if, like, you're a comic guy and you're into Comic-Con and all these stuff, right? Like, some people might find that immature, but there was just, and that's the kind of man she's dating now and very happy. But those stickers, she came home early and she was like, he had fucking stickers on his laptop. And that was the ick. It completely turned her off. There was another person that used the word wee-wee in bed about his penis
in
or
bed?
His dick or his
cock. Oh,
he
no.
said wee-wee and pee-pee. And instantly, she got the ick.
Yeah.
She was like, I just can't. You can't use words
with that
like
one.
That as a man.
No. Not unless you're talking to a two-year-old.
Right, right. Another friend got the ick when, great man, right? Great job, beautiful house, cars that were paid for. He cooked fucking dinner every night. His house was clean. He had a 4-bedroom, 3-bedroom house. He was, everything lined up.
Right.
However, he had some female nurturing tendencies where it was almost too much that he was doing. It was, I'm reupholstering a footstool. I'm doing these things. I'm doing that thing. So then she was like, wait a second. Am I dating a gay man or a good man?
No, and you're dating a gay man.
Yeah. And that
it. Because I remember what you're talking about.
Right.
So, yes.
That
yeah. No, that one.
He was gay.
So that ick was a red flag.
Right.
Let's just be real. That was a, what the fuck is going on? I am I was waiting for, like, him to be that really weird and there be a dungeon room kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, super covering it. Yeah, that was, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I got the heebie-jeebies over that one.
Mm-hmm. It's funny to me that there's, maybe what some would say clear red flags of like, all right, so he's not turning calling you back. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. But then we have problems with something like stickers on a laptop. And that's where I agree with where it has to be this psychological thing of, and I think from this friend's standpoint, it's like, I'm a parent already to one fucking kid. I don't need to parent you, Junior.
Exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. I think that's when, as a woman, and you're going out and you're looking for a mate, you're looking for an equal partner, you're looking for someone who's going to help protect you, someone who's going to help you raise your children, depending on the age of it, you want in an adult.
Right.
And so when you see characteristics or traits of something that is immature or triggers you and reminds you of your children, that's a big no-no. Because
right.
You're supposed to be a man, not a boy.
Right. Do you think that you should tell somebody when an ick has been triggered or just abandon ship?
Depends on the ick.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the ick, the person, the situation, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I guess it also depends on your confidence level too, right? Because
right.
If you're just dating, you're like, I don't want to have to tell this person their teeth are jacked up and
so
be the
my
bitch.
Friend did it. She did it.
Really?
Yeah, told him about the pee-pee wee-wee thing. didn't like the way he chewed, didn't like this thing, didn't like that thing. Because so, look, she was dating this guy. Everything was great. Like, he was, it's same as the vegetable guy, right? Very attentive. He's texting her, giving them the attention that she wants, going out on dates. But now he's using the words pee pee, wee wee. He, the way that he chewed annoyed her. Some of his habits annoyed. Oh, he farted in bed while she's in bed with him. Like, there's was just things that she told him at one point, like, I just don't think that this is going to work out. And so he said, well, tell me what? And she sent a two-screen list of everything. And we were like, oh, I can't.
And what did he say?
He said,
what did he say?
I'm willing to fix all of those. Which then became a red flag for her. Because why would you, and this is where I agree with it, right? Because similar to this article I sent you from, what did I say it was from? Oh, Mashable. Is that it says an ick can sometimes just be a preference, or it could be it could be unnecessary, right? Like some of my small things, like somebody's shoes, does it really matter? No, it's just what I'm not into. But for her, it was like, why are you willing to change this many things about yourself for a girl that you met 2 weeks ago? That was a red flag.
Okay.
Where it was like, ew, why are you so needy? Rather than somebody going like, that's fucking harsh, bitch. Like, why don't you take a look at yourself? And I don't like when you do
right.
It, that immediate answer of I can fix it became a red flag to her.
So basically, because a man was too passive, he got denied.
Right.
And yet, that's what we say we want from men.
No, I think it's like you said, right? You're looking for that balance. You want to nurture. You want all of this. But then you need that middle ground. You need a man truly to be at this neutral level of, and that's what, how I explained Ethan earlier, right? Like, Ethan's so great, but does he have this toxic masculinity? These parts of him that are like, rah, rah, rah. Yeah, and I love it about him because that's what makes him a man.
Yes, and I hate that you use the word toxic with that.
We use it inside our house, and they call us toxic females all the time. I don't mean it in the way that, you know, that's the way that social media said it. I don't mean it in a bad thing. It's just when they go into their male, like, I call it, like, you remember Tim the Toolman Taylor?
Uh-huh.
He would always be like, rah, rah, rah. He's a man's man. That's,
yes.
My kid walks in, he takes off his fucking shirt, he's talking about how great he is. He is the best at everything he does.
Oh, yeah.
And I am perfectly fine with him thinking that. Because he is also very humbled in his... But it is a man thing to be like, I'm a man, and you want your man to do that. You don't want them to go, well, I'm eighth best out of... No, fuck you, motherfucker. You tell people you're a winner.
Right?
So I get that.
I like it.
It was too soon. It was...
Yeah.
I could change.
Okay, so 2 weeks, that's... Yeah. Now, if you've been dating 6 months, a year, okay, you know...
Right.
Again, situation.
Right. Right. And I think things like teeth, hygiene things, those are things that, for me, non-negotiable.
Exactly. Non-negotiable whatsoever. You are dirty. It's not happening. Honestly, if I walk in and your place is dirty, it's not happening either. Because you apparently can't clean and you're looking for a mommy to clean up your shit. And that is not happening.
My husband's house was a fucking pigsty.
Not unless you're bringing in the right amount of paycheck.
Listen, there was a path on the way from his bedroom door to his bed.
Uh-huh.
A pathway. And then a pathway to his desk. His mama had to come and clean his bathroom so I could come and spend the night. Because I was not going to shower in his dirty ass bathroom. And then when we would... It's summertime, people, so I keep having to whisper because kids are at home. When we'd have sex in his living room, first of all, if I sat on his couch, I made him put a sheet over it because they never vacuumed it and there were dogs and all this other shit. So I'd make him put a sheet over it. And if we were fucking on the floor, you're putting a sheet down. I'm not laying on your dirty ass carpet.
Wow, it was that bad.
Yeah, he was just, he's still not a clean person. It is, okay. It is up to me to keep it going, right? Like, he doesn't clean toilets, but also it just hasn't been his job duties. It's not his strongest suit. If one of my icks was a dirty house, he would have been out.
Yeah.
It should, but presentation wise, he presents himself very well. Just a dirty
person. Yes, he's very clean. Great
smile. Yeah, I can.
Hygienically, he's very, yeah, hygienically, he's very clean.
Right. Yep. So yeah. If that was an ick for me, it would have been gone. I also thought it was pretty interesting that they said that once a girl gets an ick, there's there's no coming back from it.
And I can understand that. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying is that it, there was, I remember Jen saying like, nope, Sabrina is this way about people. And this explained it. It's not like, I can't do anything about it. Once I get that, I'm like, ugh, no, I'm good. I'm good. I would never do that.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's called boundaries, people.
Well, see, that's what the article says, right? Is an ick a true red flag? Is it a boundary? Is it? It could be all of those things and be okay. Are they super judgy? Yeah.
Yeah. So what?
But guess what? That's our right.
Exactly.
So, where do you want to go from here?
Let's see.
Just do a quick update. You know, since we talked last time, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's court case settled? Not settled.
Judged on? I don't know.
Whatever. I'm not a fucking attorney.
So, it's over, people.
Yeah.
Who won?
I want to make a correction because last week I said that I thought that it was a judge trial. It was not. It was a jury trial.
Okay.
And we also talked about her case previous to that, where she had won money. So this is what I do know. The update is that the trial is over. He won.
Okay.
They found that he had to pay an excess of she had to pay an excess of $10 million to him. She won her cross suit for a small amount in regards to something else.
Okay.
My observation and concern is this. And I don't want to dig back into this because we talked about it last time, but I just want to say the correction is her court case originally, when he was found guilty, was done in London, where maybe his biggest fan base isn't there, right? My concern is that you pulled from a jury of people in Los Angeles who love celebrity, who love Johnny Depp, and did they come to this judgment based on the fact that he was really victimized or because they are fans of Johnny Depp?
It could be both. You know what I mean? Because it is a jury and we do live in the United States and you're allowed a jury by your peers. And just because your peers happen to be the entire fucking United States and everybody loves you for, you know, what you're doing, there's no harm in that. I mean, that it is what it is.
Right. Now, the article I sent you also questioned, it was more of, does this verdict, did I send it to you?
No, not the Johnny Depp one.
Well, it was just saying, you know, is this verdict going to affect women and women prosecuting themselves or prosecuting their victimizers? I think the answer is no, right? We're talking about two fucking celebrities that have celebrity issues.
I'm sorry, she shit in his bed. And why is it that when every time a woman loses a lawsuit, it's, oh my God, women's rights are going back and we're never going to have da 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 da. Y'all, you wanted equality. You fucking got equality. Right. It doesn't mean you get everything that you fucking want because you have a vagina.
And I don't think that they should or that anybody should be comparing this to the everyday person. The everyday person's court case is not going to be televised and then TikToked and IG'd and Facebooked and memed and Twittered and this and that and this and that for the last 3 weeks. What I do think it could affect is celebrities against celebrities, right? So like right now there's a documentary against Marilyn Manson.
Okay.
Where he was abusive to his girlfriend. And she released this. So can he now go back and sue her for defamation? And will that then set this trend? Quite honestly, celebrity problems. I don't care.
Right. I don't care. Let them sue each other.
I mean, I hate to be such an asshole. Yeah.
You're not an asshole, though. Why do I need to know about Marilyn Manson and his girlfriend? Is she filing suit against him because of the abuse? Mm-hmm. Or is she just late? She's being petty. She's turning around, throwing it out there. Now he's going to turn around and sue her. Then she can turn around and countersuit and say you were abusive. Right. Go work your shit out. But I really don't care anymore. Right. You know what I mean? You're not the everyday person. You have multi-million dollars. You guys have security guards. You have the best lawyers in the entire fucking world debating your petty ass bullshit instead of real life issues. Eat a dick.
Right. Right.
I'm just like, I don't care.
Yeah. I thought the article was very desperate when it said, you know, the title said something like the Amber Heard case, how media destroyed her and how it's going to affect the everyday woman. I don't think it's like that part, a fucking reach. It's not going to affect the everyday woman. I could see it maybe affecting celebrities who have something to lose. But Nate is not suing me for what? For what?
Right. And that's the point. And that's how distorted the media is.
Right.
The media thinks that celebrities are your everyday woman.
Right. Yep. I agree. So now let's jump from that. So that was just that update of where I was wrong on a couple things and that it's over. Nate did say something funny to Lorelai yesterday.
What's that?
He said something like, if you're not careful, she's going to Amber Heard you, which he meant like take a dump on somebody's bed. So I guess that's now a thing. It's now a verb.
Amber Heard you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Speaking of celebrities.
Yes.
So Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Mr. All Right, All Right, All Right.
Right, All Right.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Matthew McConaughey, the sexy beast that he is, was in Washington. He made a speech in D.C. I guess he had met beforehand with President Biden. He had made are we calling it a speech? He made
a statement? I don't know. I just want to know why in the hell was he in the White House press room? There's no reason for him to be in there.
I thought that was very interesting, right? Because we've never seen that before.
There's no reason for him to have been in there.
Yeah, I thought that was very strange. It just felt weird for him to be in that room at that podium.
Yep.
I will say that I did like what he said. We didn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know his political party. I feel like he is very even keeled, right? Like he said in his statement, and for anybody that knows, he was talking about the shooting that happened in Texas where 19 students and two teachers died. He is from that area. He grew up there. He got his first BB gun there. He got his first rifle there. And he said all of that, right? Like he is a gun-toting Texan. So where most of the time you and I both have taken the stance of celebrities should keep their mouth shut. Why the fuck are they talking on this point? I could understand why it affected him personally, right? He grew up there. His mother taught there. She was a teacher in that city. His wife is an attorney. His wife works on just global humanity. So again, the connection made sense to me of where she was coming from. I was worried when I heard that he had done it, that it was going to be all anti-gun and this big celebrity thing.
Yes, they all do.
Right. I didn't find that. I thought this is what it seems, the part that I like the most. It said, in a seeming he acknowledged that gun control would not solve the crisis of gun violence. We need to invest in mental health care, We need safer schools. We need to restrain sensationalized media coverage. We need to restore our family values. We need to restore our American values. And we need responsible gun ownership. And he was saying, you know, as a gun owner, criminals affect our Second Amendment. It is the criminals we want to keep away from the guns, not Americans in general. And I really enjoyed the fact that he did not go on there and say what everybody else did that happened after this unfortunate incident, which we need guns. We need to take away the guns, take away the guns, take away the guns.
Yeah.
That's not the issue that I loved every, he's right. We need to invest in mental health. We need safer schools. We need to
restrain the media. We need family values.
Yeah. We need to restrain the media. We need to restore. That's the part that hit me that made me think of you. We need to restore our family values. We need to restore our American values. And we need to be responsible gun owners. Not restrict, but be responsible in it.
I agree. And here is the other problem that we have. So all of the mass shootings are always done in places where you're not allowed to have your guns, right? Mm-hmm. Schools are gun-free zones, right? Mm-hmm. Which blows my mind because in the 50s and the 60s, they were not gun-free zones.
Mm-hmm.
Kids had their shotguns in the back of their trucks.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't blowing up all these schools, even with the access of having it right there.
Right.
You know, and this is why I'm agreeing with him, is that it really is a mental health issue and a family value and an American value that we have lost in this society. You know, we talk about toxic masculinity, but it's not toxic.
Mm-hmm.
When you're suppressing it, it becomes toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got this kid.
What do you mean by that?
So he's an 18-year-old kid. No father in the home. He lived with his grandmother, so I'm going to assume there is no mother in the home. This kid was not brought up properly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he was jerked up. He was a lonely kid. He probably got picked on in school. Someone got him online and convinced him to go shoot up a school. Not even his own school, which I find weird. There's a lot of things about this particular case that set my hairs up. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that don't add up, and which really, it bothers me, right?
Yeah.
And I pray for the people who have lost their children, and I pray that those children, you know, have moved on to heaven, and that, you know, and I pray for those families that are suffering, because nobody should have to go through that.
Right.
Okay. What I have a problem with is, it's really interesting that if you look at the cases, a teacher propped open a door during an active shooter. Okay. There was four cops standing on the side of the building for 40 minutes, despite the fact that 911 calls were coming in from students and teachers. Those calls were not being transferred to the police on site. Did you hear about the woman who went in and took her kids out?
No. So I am not prepared to talk about the actual true incident because I think truly, you know, I think what we've all found out during, especially this shooting, where it wasn't premeditated, right? It was premeditated that he was going to kill his grandma, I believe, and then premeditated that he was now in this car chase. His car wrecked. He pulled up to the school that has the back door opened and ajar. And so he entered through this thing, and then this thing happened. I think my concern is the fact that it fucking happened, right? We know that my kids are in school. We know that the door should be closed at all times. Do our teachers sometimes forget the world that we live in? And I could see one of the back teachers in the back hallway doing that same thing, right? Like propping a door open like we used to when we were kids. They'd be like, hey, just prop that door open. You forget the fucking world we live in.
And I understand.
I think we've all know, too, that that city and the police department made some great mistakes, made some awful mistakes. And that goes without saying. I think my concern here more is, what do we do next? Like, rather than just this one incident, is the bigger picture of what the fuck can we do? We can't take guns. That's not going to happen, right? That's not going to happen.
No.
Mental health. At what point do we realize that this is a bigger issue than we all are led to believe? And it goes beyond just not having a mother and father. Some people are just fucked up in their heads. And
yes,
some people send out these red flags that us as a majority fucking ignore. That's the thing that drives me crazy, is anytime it happens, it's always like, well, on his social media page, he was doing this, and he was doing that, and he was doing this, and he was doing that. That's the problem I have.
Like, so if I'm not, if I'm not 100% correct, but if I'm not mistaken, he posted on Facebook that he was going to do it the day of. Now, here's what I have a problem with. Facebook, okay, will shut down your post if you say something bad about the COVID vaccine. They will say this is disinformation. They'll shut you down. But a kid puts on there, he's going to shoot up a school and nothing happens, and you want to talk to me about, oh, that's free speech and we can't do anything about it?
Like, yeah, what he said something, I think it was on Twitter, and I think he said something like, I'm going to kill somebody today. I'm going to kill somebody in the next hour. And you're right. Right? Like, when I know on Instagram, you post something about COVID, it flags it. On Facebook, it flags it. The president was kicked off of Twitter for what Twitter believes were not true statements. So, and that were a danger to the American people. Right? So,
but a kid that actually killed someone who actually is a real danger to the American people is not banned, not notified.
Right.
So, this is going to go more into my opinion, where this and a lot of our school shootings, and you guys can think I'm crazy and I don't care, but they're set up. Mm-hmm. They're fucking set up.
Mm-hmm.
This kid was groomed. I want to know how an 18-year-old who doesn't have a job, who doesn't have money, was able to afford to buy the guns and the ammo. When you add up what he had, it comes close to $10,000. Mm-hmm. Where did that money come from? Who gave him that money? Because obviously it wasn't his.
Mm-hmm.
So I had there, like, and if you've ever noticed, our school shootings are, you have one in this time frame, and then all of a sudden we go a long time without having one. And then we have them, and then all of a sudden, it's really fucking suspicious.
See, I think that has more to do with the fact that it kind of inspires somebody, right? You see one person do it, and then it sparks this ignition again, or this flame of, oh, well, this is how I can solve the way I'm feeling, more than a strategized attack. I don't think, my personal opinion is, I don't think that any of the school shootings have been set up or anything like that. I truly believe in the mental health issue in this country. 100%. A mental health issue that I think is supported by our government. It's supported by our insurance companies. It's supported by our doctors. It's supported by the American people. We have always pushed our crazies and the people that aren't right off camera, right? Nobody wants to see them. You don't want to deal with them. That's my crazy fucking brother. Well, now my crazy fucking brother gets a free check every month because he's mentally disabled or whatever, and he gets a disability check. He can buy fucking guns and kill somebody. That's a problem. I agree.
That is a big problem. And what I'm saying is, your government is using those particular people that they are creating and encouraging by the checks and the all of this, okay? And they're setting them up to go create a fear and instill it in you for the cause of taking away your guns.
Joe Biden straight up. I can see you making that connection. Yeah, I could see you making that connection.
I mean, Joe Biden straight up said, we are taking your guns and you're not going to have any fucking rights. I mean, the president of the United States literally said that on air. That should have everybody scared the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have, and I understand everybody can say, oh, you're not going to beat some military and all a tyrannical military, okay? And maybe not, but at least there's going to be a fight, right. Okay? Because I bet you if 6 million Jews had guns, Holocaust would have never fucking happened.
Well, not just that, but let's look at the city of Chicago, people. Chicago is a city that has zero guns. Supposedly. Mm-hmm.
Supposedly.
Right? Like, it's illegal to own a gun in Chicago.
Yep. Same thing in D.C. It's illegal to have a gun in D.C. How many gun shootings happen in D.C.?
The D.C. sniper happened there.
Yeah, but he's... You're not allowed to have a gun. Yeah. What happened?
So, there's... This is... I think this is the problem for me at this point, is like... All right, listen, the gun thing's never happening. They're never going to be able to get the votes or be able to take away our guns. It's just, it's not going to happen. I think, in my opinion, the school systems have done better. And I am saying that as just from the county I know, right? And just as a parent of two kids that have gone through public school and private school, they were in private school when they were younger, that there is a difference in their school security compared to when I was in school. Most people that go to a public school now, there is one door that you can enter. Those doors are locked. You have to hit a button to be able to get in. There is a camera where you have to say who you are. They are, and most schools, especially that are new constructions, are built where that visitor can then only get in to the office. So then it's just the office staff that is going to be injured, right? They can't have direct access to the children. So I've seen schools start to work towards becoming safer until we saw whatever that, and that's what you want to see, right? These schools are definitely not in the same situation that they were in 1998 when the first Columbine shooting, or 99, whenever that happened, right? So we have progressed some. It's time to take a look at our progression and say, okay, the school systems are doing this. What else can we... We're never taking away guns. We're not. No. Does that mean that there's not room for improvement somewhere along the lines in that gun control? Sure. There's always room for improvement everywhere.
Yes.
The focus has got to be these fucking crazy people.
Exactly. It has to be these crazy people. Because that's what's happening. It's these crazy people that are going out and they're doing this. There's, again, the family values. Guys, where is the morality in our country? Like, this kid crying out for help, saying I'm going to go shoot somebody, and nobody does anything, you know? Now, I'm going to say this. So, I was going to talk about that. Oh, crap. I had another. Oh, I saw a TikTok that the person had said, you realize that the school shooters now know the exact protocol because they were kids during school shootings.
Of course.
So they know now how to rig or move around the system because they were in it.
Right. I mean, that makes complete sense, right? I mean, that 100% makes sense. They would know that. And there's no undoing that, right? Because that's the thing. Like, our kids, my kids do intruder drills.
Correct.
And that is a thing that I didn't have to do as a child. That's a thing that you didn't have to do as a child. They now, and the teachers have to have these protocols and these safety drills for intruders. I think the most disturbing thing for me on this particular shooting is that now my youngest daughter is old enough to understand what happened. She answered the phone the day that it happened, and the school had sent out a notice that book bags weren't allowed in school for the rest of the school year. There, we had like a week left of school when it happened.
Right.
And so then she asked me, she said, what happened? And so then I told her, you know, that 19 children had died in Texas and two teachers, and that this man had come into the building and killed them. And she said, it was a man? It was an adult? Like, an adult killed kids? Where in her mind, as she was doing an intruder, she didn't know what the monster looked like. She didn't know what the bad guy looked like. She could not comprehend how an adult would go in and shoot children like that.
Right.
Young children. In her mind, this happened truly in high schools, and it was high school students that bullied online right. that were shooting. Not that an adult, the people you go to for trust and for caring and nurturing,
are the ones that are doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that was hard to stomach and hard to have to explain of why your school is different than mine now. In that yes. this is what the monsters look like.
And it's scary because she's going to lose her trust in adult and authorities mm-hmm. and, you know, and where she should end up going for help. She's not going to go in for help because she's too scared that it's going to end up being the bad guy.
So let me ask you a question, because I've never thought about this before. Is the bad guy is an adult male, right? Normally. Mm-hmm. Why don't you think we've had any female mass shooters?
I really don't know.
Because mental honestly. Illness doesn't, you know, it doesn't pick one gender or the next.
No.
So why is it, and I can't say white adult males, because...
I mean, this was an 18-year-old, so, I mean, legally it's an adult, but...
Yeah, I mean, he's an adult, but, you know, it's not just white males, right? Because in Virginia Tech, that was an Asian student. I think the one in Buffalo was a mixed of some... I think he was Latin or Mexican or something like that.
Yeah, so, the one at Pulse was a Muslim.
Yeah, so it's male. Why haven't females done it?
I don't know if that's like a biological, we're not wired to really do that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because of the testosterone and all of this, like man's man, violence, that's included in it, right? You know, right. And we may not be wired to do that. Mm-hmm. I think women tend to, when they're using a firearm, they're in... Their firearm is for protection.
Right.
Not for harm.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think maybe that's the mental difference. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you think about it, men in general, the last 10 years have been enemy number one.
Right.
You know, so we talk about toxic masculinity, mm-hmm. you know, we talk about... Men are, you know, they've been so wrong. They're none of this. They get, you know, all kinds of stuff going on, and it's going to have a side effect, mm-hmm. well, you know, and yeah, their mental health is part.
This has been going on for 20 years now. Columbine happened almost 20 years ago. And so, and Sandy right. Hook was over 10 years ago. That was like 15 years ago. So I don't know if it's us, you know, the general public pushing them to do that as much as, there has to be. I think you're right. I think it has more to do with the what women associate guns with and mm-hmm. and also maybe the nurturing factor within women.
Right.
Where we haven't, it's not that females are above family annihilation, right? Like there was that woman in no. Texas that drowned her 5 kids. There's a woman in Carolina that drove her 3 kids over a bridge and drowned them. There's women that kill their children in groups.
Yes. Correct. And
I
they
knew
also
a mom that shotgun. And she killed her 2 twins with a shotgun, right? But to go into a school
right.
or into a Walmart or into some, it seems to not be a female mental health. And I wonder what that connection is.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know what mm-hmm. that is. You know, a lot of, like I said, talks. Men are being suppressed a lot of times, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it has to do with that. I think they really, quite honestly, it's like anything else, right? You have to do a fucking case study. You have to look at this shooter, this shooter, this shooter, this shooter. Look at their past, like you said. Did they have families? Now, the kids in Columbine, they had moms and dads.
Right.
So then it's like, well, fuck, what is it in their brains that are saying this is a good fucking idea?
I agree. And when Columbine happened, you also have to remember that was a rare, unheard of thing, mm-hmm. right? So what was the difference between society then and society now, mm-hmm. as well as far as factors?
Right.
Right? Back then, when you got bullied, okay, mm-hmm. yeah, you got picked on, you went home, you fucking cried, you went the next day, or you someone taught you how to stand up for yourself, mm-hmm. right? Kids weren't killing themselves over being bullied on the internet. Mm-hmm. I think it's we're a different breed of people. I don't think we're as strong as we used to be. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're as strong mentally or physically, do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And able to handle some of these things. When I was a kid and I got bullied and called a boy and picked on and shoved around, you know, mom went out and, you know, said, oh, this shit's not happening. Right. But, there was some defense. Mm-hmm. But in today's age, if a bully is bullying someone and you report it, nothing happens to the bully. You keep getting tortured. And then if you stand up for yourself, then you're in trouble. Right. So there's a lot of mis-messages happening in our society. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. You know, I don't know about you, but in my day, and even before that, if I beat the shit out of a bully, my mom's going, yep, that's fucking right. She defended herself, and she would defend me to the school.
Right.
There's none of this no tolerance. No, there's no such thing as no tolerance because you're fucking letting the bullies bully. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that builds up, and that causes mental issues. Mm-hmm. So unless you have a very strong family unit, a strong parent that are there, that are very involved in your life, you're going to go down the wrong path and shit's going to go wrong in your head. Mm-hmm. And we don't even have a society where you fucking post it on the internet for the whole world to see and no one says anything.
Right. I think that's probably the most disturbing part, right? Is like you had said earlier, they had all these systems in place to make sure that the people that didn't believe in COVID and the people that didn't believe in the regulations of COVID were not heard. And they found a way in their platforms to get rid of our posts, to flag our posts. You just mentioned the word COVID, mask, vaccine. It was flagged. He yep. says, with I'm this? Going to kill somebody today. And Twitter nothing. Can't sense that in their algorithm. Give me a fucking break. I say right now out loud of my Google Home that I'm interested in yellow cacti, and all of a sudden my Facebook is filled with yellow fucking cacti. So this is the thing I appreciated about Matthew McConaughey's speech is it's not about fucking gun control. There is so much more that we can be fixing. Stop yelling about the schools. Schools are doing things. They are doing things. And I feel terrible for whoever propped that door open. I feel fucking terrible for him. I hope she's never named, he or she, because I can't imagine what it must feel like to think, fuck, I was hot that day, I left this door open, or Sammy's lunch smelled gross, and so I propped this door open, and this yep. happened.
And I pray that they feel that guilt for that mm-hmm. because I pray that it was a mistake
yeah.
and not intention.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope so. Right. Like, yeah, I would hope so.
I know.
So. I mean, is there always a possibility for the other side? Yes. Right.
Yeah. But
who knows?
And I mean, Sabrina, you have to look into, I know you're not prepared to have that conversation, but you have to look at all the different perspectives of what happened during that shooting. And when I looked at it, I'm going, if a mother who is unarmed can jump a fence, get her fucking kids out of that school, why were the cops just sitting there? There is something severely wrong. And I don't know what the purpose is for that, but it just blows my mind. And if that's the case, she jumped in and got her kids. That means a teacher opened another door.
Right.
Like, it's like, you guys, there's nothing that they were following protocol in this. And it really, it's just like, ooh.
Right.
Like, something's not right.
Or it's a small town that I think, in my opinion, right, is that it showed that it was a small town with a bunch of police officers who had no idea how to handle a mass fucking shooting. They had no fucking clue. Who just stands there for 45 minutes? I would have gone to go get my fucking kids out of there.
Exactly. They put her in handcuffs.
Yeah. I mean, they showed...
They put her in...
Even at that one that happened in Boca, like, kids were coming out of the windows. Instead of being told, you know, I think their typical response is you're supposed to hide in your classroom. They're crawling out of the fucking windows just trying to get away. And then you think about... Matthew had mentioned the fact that he spoke to the morticians and the beauticians that then had to work on these children. And the fact that they weren't even recognizable. And I never, ever even fucking thought about that. I thought parents at least got to go hold their beautiful, angelic-looking children and say goodbye. They're in fucking pieces.
Yeah. Because one other thing that I heard was there was a cop that was inside at one point and had told the kids to yell out.
Yeah, I heard that. And one got shot. Yeah.
And one got shot. So they exposed the kids. And I heard someone talking about it on TikTok. And their child overheard what was going on. And the child came in and said, "We know not to do that."
Yeah.
Why would they do that? Like, we're taught not to do that.
Yeah, not to make a
the
sound.
The cops... Right. And now the cops are telling the kids to make a sound? Like, so many wrong things.
Right. Right.
So many wrong things.
And I think it's that sheriff and that police department has really had to eat crow over this. Because as things were coming out, and they were like, wait a second. That's not what happened. They didn't go in until this long. And this didn't happen. And this didn't fucking happen. And they've had to eat a lot of crow because what came out first.
Let me
go ahead.
Wait till you hear what else comes out. So the woman who went in and got her kids didn't do an interview right away. It was like a couple of like a week before she actually did an interview. And the reason why is she was on probation, and the law enforcement said, if you do an interview talking about how we were out here for 40 minutes and you hopped in and got your kids, we're going to break your violation and or your probation and put you back in jail.
Mm-hmm.
She had to go before a judge
mm-hmm.
to make sure that her probation wouldn't get revoked for her telling what happened.
For her to talk on their behalf.
Yeah. Those law enforcement officers are still working. They threatened her.
Right.
That's a threat.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they threatening a woman who saved children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. The other thing I think about, and I don't know if we've even heard from these people, but the kids from Columbine and the kids from Sandy Hook and the kids from the school down in Boca and these kids... How do you recover from that? How, as the surviving children who had to hide under fucking desks and see what they saw that day, what are those kids like today? And
exactly.
And like, again, Matthew said, just the community itself, the mortician, the police officers, the ambulance, like, how does a community fucking recover from something like that? And I know in my case, I have a friend who had two daughters in the Boca shooting that happened. I don't remember what the school name is, but it happened maybe 6 years ago. Both of his daughters were there. They ran from the building while the active shooter was still there, ran across the street, and they all went to a different convenience store. And the sisters had lost each other. So there was a while that mom and dad didn't know if their daughters had made it, right?
Right.
Then they all have to go back to school. And I think they took a week or something off. Eventually, the next school year, my friend had sold his house and moved. Because his teenage daughters, it was just too much for them. Always having to go back to the same building where they right. lost lives was a lot to fucking stomach.
It is. It's a lot to stomach for anyone. That would be like, you know, that's why a lot of people, if your house is broken into, you don't want to go back home.
Right. Like that know? Violation or, and that fear, how do you recover from that?
Well, that's the part of the mental health. Mm-hmm. We don't take care. We're not even taking. We are so fucking up our kids that, and I hope your friend got your kids, mm-hmm. you know, and the therapy. Help that they yeah. needed in therapy. But not everybody can afford to put their kids in therapy. Mm-hmm. So you guys want to talk, you know, everybody screams more gun control, but you're not screaming for more mental health programs mm-hmm. from the government, who in my opinion is doing this, mm-hmm. you know, but why aren't you screaming for more mental health for these kids? Why aren't you screaming for free therapy for the people who can't afford it? Right?
Right.
I mean,
I agree.
But nobody's talking.
I 100% agree with that. I think, you know, God, I just, mental health is such a fucking demon. It is a demon that can make or break somebody. And,
yeah.
And it is ignored. And it is, in my opinion, the government makes fucking money off of these people through.
Yes, they do.
What I thought was interesting when I went to Mexico, did I share this with you already? That you can go into Mexico and you can buy pain pills, you can buy Viagra, you can buy Ritalin.
No.
You don't need a prescription.
Yeah, we didn't. No, we didn't talk about it, but I knew this.
Yeah, so you don't need a prescription at all.
Right.
They don't have an opiate pandemic or epidemic. Hmm. They don't. The people in there buying that shit were the white people like me. I bought some Viagra
yeah.
while I was there. Because I'm going to drug my husband and without him knowing. So... I thought that was interesting, right? Because they don't have doctors overly mm-mm. prescribing them. In this country,
nope.
up until recently, you had an elbow pain. You're getting pain meds. Yeah. You're getting more pain meds.
Yeah.
You're getting more pain meds.
Yep.
At one point in my early 20s, I had a psychiatrist prescribing me 90 milligrams of Adderall a day. And then he would give me my prescriptions for 3 months. I would get 270 uh-huh. Adderall from him at one time.
Wow.
With yeah. no proven diagnosis that I had ADHD, besides my fucking word on it.
Right. And the same thing with pain. You go in there, oh, I got an ache. Now, then they would give you, what, painkillers.
Right.
All of them.
And I foolishly, Tabby, would go in there. I thought you had an hour with a psychiatrist, just like my therapist, right? No.
No. It's like 15 minutes.
Yes. It literally was, let me just give you this medicine. You have insurance. And do you need anything else? And there were 20 yeah. fucking people in there waiting.
Yeah.
And I quickly
That's all it is.
Became addicted to that stuff, right? Because it was speed. It was fast. It was getting my house clean. I was doing all of this. I was doing all of that.
Yeah.
That doctor could care less. It took me yep. to be like, oh, God, I can never get a prescription for this stuff again because I couldn't control it.
Right, because you became addicted. That was the whole point. They wanted you addicted to a drug. So
insane.
You've got to think about what this... Yeah, but think about why this is happening, okay?
It's money.
So it's money and mental health. If you are not mentally strong... You're a fucking sheep, and they're going to make money fist over you. Why do you think now, all of a sudden, you can't get pain pills for a real legitimate pain?
Right. In the state of Florida, it's almost impossible to get pain meds now. Almost
right.
impossible.
And right. So they are creating you addicted to drugs of any type. They are creating you so that you are mentally weak. They are creating that your food is fucking horrible, so you keep having to go back to the farm, to the doctors, to prescribe you more drugs that are going to have more side effects, that are going to cause you to need more drugs. Then you're going to end up with cancer in the end, and then you're going to spend even more money on it, on a system that is set up to destroy you.
Right.
And it's so fucking sad. And they do it by... getting an 18-year-old kid to go shoot up a fucking school. Mm-hmm. So you have now how many children with mental health issues that most of them aren't going to get help with? Mm-hmm. On top of already the mental health issues that they're having from excessive social media, too much screen time, no family interactions. I mean, it's just a horrible, horrible cycle. And like, I really, really agree with what Matthew McConaughey says, that we need family values. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There used to be a time in our country that if somebody said, I am going to kill somebody today, you'd have 50 men rounding that person up. He'd be in jail and under a psych evaluation.
Right.
Within an hour. Mm-hmm. There was none of this posted to the world and everybody ignore it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Matthew McConaughey spoke for the majority of people, right? I think the majority of people, whether or not you are Republican or Democrat, fall in this middle line of right is right and wrong is fucking wrong. And people exactly. like to try to pin us against each other. And I just there hope is it always matters, right? I just hope it fucking matters. And like he said, that's what the parents wanted. Let the death of their children fucking matter. If not, what are we doing?
Exactly. You know, and, you know, there's a phrase, and it's very true. There is always control out of chaos. Mm-hmm. There is a chaos situation. Someone creates it. And they're looking to control you because you're looking for an answer. Mm-hmm. And they already had the answer set up the whole time. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I have no idea. No idea. What a terrible way to end this. We started off so strong.
Yeah. I know. And unfortunately, we don't have anything happy to end this on.
I know. I'm just going to have to make something up.
Hold on, if you want to talk
on the next podcast, and I will prep myself about your thought and opinion on the mass shootings and things like that, I'd love to go down that road. I wasn't trying to cut you off on that. It's just I wasn't prepared for the timeline to be able to look at it.
Yeah.
But I am interested in it because I do think there's always, right, like, you know, 9/11. There's a lot of controversy on 9/11, and I am one person that I sat through and I read everything that was released in that. And so then I feel like I have a educated opinion on how I believe that all went down. So I understand that there is a different perspective to everything. I'd love to hear your opinion on it on the next one.
Okay, we can totally do that.
Yeah, just send me a few things. I saw an article with the timeline. So send me a few things to look at, and then we'll chat about that.
Okay, perfect.
All right, so find something funny to end this fucker with. And if you mention my hot-ass kid, I'm going to punch you in the face.
That was only 20 years younger.
Oh, no, Jesus. Mary and Joseph.
Yeah. Well, wait till your daughter gets old enough.
Oh, hey, listen. So you know what's funny? She just told me today. So my son's friends, I never felt like they were inappropriate, right? That I could never tell that they thought that Ethan's mom was good looking. Now, do they all follow me on Instagram? Sure. You know,
they totally think you are. So just so you know, they're little dirty, horny little boys.
Right. However, Lou's friends, these 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old boys, I can tell.
Uh-huh.
I can tell the way that they are giggly and uncomfortable around me. That there's a Stacey's mom thing going on. You know that song, Stacey's mom's got it going on? She told me today that they've talked about my breasts. And that they like how big they are. And I was like, are you kidding me? I wear shirts up to my neck most of the time. And these little perverted 13, 14, 15-year-old boys are talking about your mom's boobs. Yeah. I said, you know what? Her. We can't invite them on the boat. Because if they see me in a bikini, I'm going to feel so uncomfortable.
Yeah. And poor her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, dude.
That's what I was like. It's a little weird that they were talking about that with you. And she was like, they like them. They've noticed them. And I was
Well, of course they like them. They're big titties. I mean, that is nothing new. I went to a friend's house who had a baby. The toddler must have been almost a year old because it was kind of walking. And I was wearing a low-cut shirt. I walked in that room. That baby went to me.
Mom, honey,
there's no milk in these titties for you.
You know what I thought? This will show her age. This was her response to them and her argument to get them to stop talking about them. They're not real. They're just implants. And I said, Lorelai, boys and men.
That just helped.
They don't care. They don't care if they're real or not. They're not going to be like, oh, okay. They're fake boobs. Who cares? Yeah. No, they don't care. Yeah. Men don't care. They just like boobs.
They just regardless like boobs, no matter age. What age.
They do, yeah. Yep, including the toddler that came up to you like, mama. They just
yum,
like
yum,
boobs.
Yum, 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 like yummy. Right. They right. just like titties. Like, you know, they never stop. All right, I was trying to find a question, but these are all so lame. What's one thing your mom or dad doesn't understand about you? I don't know.
I don't know. Here, I have a question for you. I'll do a would you rather, and then we're going to end it on this. Would you rather eat a tablespoon of human shit or cannonball into the deep end in a pool full of diarrhea?
Okay, that's not cool.
No, you have to pick one. Yeah, you have to pick one. Or we're never ending this fucking podcast, and you're going to be editing for hours and hours.
Well, welcome. I won't be editing because we'll still keep going. So, holy shit. What the?
Eat a tablespoon of poop or cannonball in. So you are plugging your nose and fully submerged and having to come up and swim through the shit and pull yourself out. Let's hope it's not in your mouth. Let's hope you're going to find shit everywhere in your body or you have to digest it. Make an answer right now. Choose a side.
I'm swimming in it.
You're swimming? You're not going to eat it?
I am not putting that. I'm not putting that shit in my mouth. Mm-mm. No.
I think I'll eat the shit.
Because I'll just be throwing it.
I think I'll eat
it. Oh! Mm-mm.
I think I'll eat it.
Oh.
Because I think if you eat it's over in seconds, right? It's over in at least 5 minutes. No, I've done a mud run, and I've found mud on me for days. You want to be sitting there and do you guys smell shit? I swear to God, I smell shit. And they're like, yeah, it's you, Tabby. You took a dive in the deep end of shit. I feel like I can't.
Yeah, but I can't muster myself
especially
to put it
how much you hate poop
in my mouth. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm eating it and she's swimming in it.
I'd rather swim in it because
I wish
this is something you should have did on our live.
I know. And I'm not sure if it was a better ending than the last one because you look more disturbed now than the last topic we were just talking about.
I know. You know what the sad part is?
What?
We should have saved this for a live.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I could come up with these all day. This is what I do.
Okay, well, come up with
roller coasters. Yeah, I'll come up with some. They're fun.
Okay, can we, like, stay away from the shit a little bit?
Maybe not. They're always good. Poop is always fun. It's so controversial.
Oh. Apparently, either you're putting it in your mouth or you're swimming in it.
Yeah. I'm just eating it. It's just a little nugget.
Oh. Oh, no, no. Wait. Are you talking like a hard nugget? Like a teaspoon of a hard... Oh, fucking it. I can't even talk about it. Dude, this is so fucked up.
We gotta wrap this up. It could be a nugget, okay, or it could be a tablespoon of diarrhea. Either way, I'm sure...
Fuck! Sabrina, you are going to literally make me puke! Okay.
Would you pick whose shit it is? Is there somebody's poop you trust more than the others?
Shit is shit! I mean, if I had to pick, I'd like to smell test them all first. See which one is least appeasing.
There's no way I'm smelling it. You have to plug your nose and just fucking jump. All right, let's say goodbye.
This is why Tabby does not have children. We're talking about shit.
Because I can make you gag all day.
Oh. That is what he said.
Exactly. So anybody worth a damn can say that.
Yes, exactly. Because that just took talent. Okay. All right, guys. So as always, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, send us an email at notasafespace@podcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Hope you guys have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.